I asked music journalists Charles Cross and Gina Arnold what makes a great protest song, and Cross said even the term protest song has problems.
I mean, when we think protest song, the word is antiquated, and we're thinking like a bunch of folkies from the 60s who are standing strumming acoustic guitars. And those songs, which were very, very much in the moment, and we're almost even using that term, we're specifically thinking primarily civil rights or Vietnam War song. But I think a great protest song is a song that has a political underpinning that isn't necessarily obvious at first. So in my mind, the best protest songs of all times are songs that, you know, have a political underpinning but aren't very obvious necessarily.
Why is it better to not be explicit?
Because when it's explicit, then the listener loses the experience of getting lost in the song. Songs work, in my mind, whether they're love songs or whether they're political songs, when the listener gets lost in the singer's voice or in the narrative. You weave your own narrative into the story. Or that's my take.
Gina, what's your take on a great protest song?
Well, I agree with Charles utterly with what he just said, but I do think there's such a thing as a protest sound rather than a protest song. We hear protest sound in punk rock. It's entire sort of reversal of what we considered good about music. It was an outcry. It was protesting the social conditions at the time. We hear it in rap music. You know, rap music in its origins in the Bronx, you know, was seizing control of the sound of the city and saying, look at us. This is our experience. And even today, rap music is used in that way to sort of ally yourself with the underclasses. And I do think that, you know, back in the past, there was a sort of sound of folk music, you know, a kind of acoustic guitars, melodies, and it was, as Charles pointed out, really allied to a time where there was a real consensus on the anti-war movement and civil rights. People in America really rallied around those single causes. So a song that comes to mind to me that worked in that way, that was explicit, was Ohio by Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Tin soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. Poor kid in Ohio. Gotta get down.
That was a song about a single incident that just outraged the nation.
And the National Guard shooting.
Yeah,
for Kent State students.
At Kent State for protesting. And I don't think we can really access the raw shock of that event that everybody in America felt at that time. It was very visceral, and the song spoke to that.
So Ohio, great song. Charles, it didn't violate your don't be explicit rule. I mean, they didn't say Kent State, but four dead in Ohio. That's on the nose.
That is a very explicit song. And it does violate my idea because it is, and the one thing about when I listen to that song now, it does feel really tied to a time where I think the greatest protest songs are not necessarily tied to one moment. I mean, it's an incredible song, and the guitar lick of Ohio is brilliant, but it's also used in movies and other things now as a timestamp.
Hmm.
It's a song that feels very much of an era. In my argument, I think one of the greatest, you know, political or protest songs of all time is Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come, which when I listen to it doesn't necessarily feel tied to a particular time.
I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
And it doesn't mention one incident. It doesn't mention one particular timestamp.
It might not even seem like a protest song to some people.
To many people, it doesn't. But it's, of course, rooted in Sam Cooke's sense of gospel music. And if we really want to go back to the original protest music, gospel music has some of those roots. It's about changing the perspective of the singer You are believing in a better time. That's what gospel music really is, and to some degree, that's also what protest music is.
So there's hope. There's also anguish in that. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die.
God. It's an amazing amount of anguish, and, you know, it's about the fear of being an African-American in America, and that fear is very real today in the era of Ferguson and in 2017. So that's one reason I think that song sort of transcends the time it was written in and the purpose it was written for.
The music we've heard so far is 45, 50 years old. Were the 60s and 70s the heyday of protest music, and if so, why?
I think yes, in the sort of classic sense of protest song or protest music. I think we mentioned before that they were tied to very real events, the Vietnam War, the anti-war movement, and civil rights, which are two of the biggest social movements of the 20th century in America.
But we have real events today. We have Black Lives Matter and Occupy Wall Street and climate change and wars in the Middle East. There's plenty to talk about, right?
Well, we do, and we have lots of songs that address each of those issues individually. But what we have is a very fragmented audience due to the internet. So unlike those days when people listened to the radio and there was just a sort of set number of songs that you were going to hear that people could rally around, today the internet really turns everybody's playlist into their own personal beliefs. So they can find the songs that address the issues that they're interested in. But a single unifying song about any single unifying event, I just feel that right now we're too polarized politically in America to rally around any single cause like that.
I think we are polarized, and I think the internet definitely has fragmented music in general. I mean, let's just separate music from protest music, but the capacity of an album to dominate popular culture and be, even you take Beyoncé's album, which was one of the biggest albums of the year, the fragmented part of society that listened to that album is still a very small amount compared to what a Michael Jackson's Thriller or Nirvana Nevermind, which is 1991. You know, we may never see an album dominate again like some of those albums in the 80s and 90s did.
Well, here's a modern song that was very tied to a specific issue, Same Love by Macklemore in 2012.
Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
I can't change.
Great protest song or not?
I think it's a great song. And again, it's tied to a specific issue and it has a particular sort of popular music sound that will only appeal to a certain set of music listeners. And I hope it may have changed some of those listeners' minds. But I still can't see that song sort of reaching out to an entire nation.
I somewhat disagree with Gina. It didn't quite become a song that the entire nation went around, but I think it crossed over beyond what the normal audience was for it. For example, they were on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and a mainstream America got exposed to that song in a way that they wouldn't have necessarily if it would have just been a song on a Macklemore album.
Gina, you use the song Formation by Beyoncé as an example to your students of a modern protest song. What is it about Formation?
Formation is a song that can be read in many ways. It's not explicitly political in the ways that I think it was meant. But when you watch the video, it's clearly about Hurricane Katrina and Black Lives Matter. There's a very, very intense scene at the end of the video where a little boy who's meant to represent Tamir Rice holds up his hands and is being shot at by black police officers. It says Black Lives Matter in the back of it, and then he dances in front of these police. So it's very clear what she meant, as she had her dancers at the Super Bowl dressed as Black Panther regalia, and it created quite a lot of controversy in the mainstream press.
As you say, Formation is different because the controversial or sharp political content, it's a very race-conscious song, but the political content is more in the visuals.
And that's true of many songs today, where the song itself is kind of not really clear what it's about. But once a director or a performer has to decide what to put in the video, the imagery of the video can be very, very political. Maybe it's me, but I don't know of the great protest song of this moment. I'm not aware of what is the song that the nation is embracing. I don't know.
Even though people have been protesting, agonizing for months since the election.
There has not been a song for me that's crystallized the moment. There have been many songs I'm going back to in my own listening, which is Fight the Power and A Change is Going to Come and these other songs that give me hope in a time that, frankly, I feel somewhat hopeless about. That's what music does to you. It takes you away from where you're at and it gives you this sense of a different world, a greater world, whether it's gospel music, whether it's R&B, or whether it's a protest song in the civil rights era.
In conclusion, the protest song, over or not over?
Dead, number one, dead the word form, protest song is over. Not, radio's not allowed to say that. Politically motivated songs or politically content, songs with political content is a much better way to describe what we're talking about. And what we're arguing is that many, many great songs of today have that and have a purpose in life.
The protest song might be over, but the protest sound is still with us, the sound of protest. Jacques Attali said, music is a herald for change. It tolls change for us to hear. And I would like to hear that change ring out.
Gina Arnold is a music critic and professor of social movements at Evergreen State College. And Charles Cross is a Seattle-based music journalist and author.
We don't want your tiny hands anywhere near our underpants. We don't want your tiny hands anywhere near our underpants. We don't want your...